Praise the Lord. All right, I'll just exhort us and see how it goes. I'm going to start by reading a prophecy that I gave to our leaders a couple of days ago. And, you know, there's a what you are praying about. Okay, we're going to be praying, as you know, just like last year and years before. We're going to be praying for our churches, nations, other ministries, you know, different things within our societies. The reason why we're praying for them is because they are our responsibility. It's not because you came for World Changers Conference. It's simply because that is the burden God has placed on you. So when you come like this, it's to remind you of what that responsibility is. So that's what you are praying. How are you praying? You are praying in the spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says to pray in the spirit always. Jude 20 says, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we have what we are praying for. We are praying for all saints, Ephesians 6:18, praying for those in authority and all men, 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. We're praying for ministers of the gospel, our pastors, our leaders. We're praying for believers. We're praying for the growth of the word. All that is within scripture. Now, why are we praying? Why? Now, the why is what I want to talk about. Why are we praying? Now, listen to this. And I shared it with the leaders, I said earlier. Don't allow your ministry drift away from you and be led by circumstances and situations. Take charge of your ministry. Seize it with heartfelt prayer and intense evangelism and the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. Do not allow any location, desire, or pressure and demands of time get your ministry to drift away. Pay attention now. Emphasis is now. I'll take it again. Do not allow your ministry drift away from you and be led by circumstances and situations. Take charge of your ministry. Seize it with heartfelt prayer and intense evangelism and the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. Don't allow any location, desire, or pressure and demands of time get your ministry to drift away from you. Pay attention. Now, I'll just add this as an exhortation. Throughout this prayer, keep this instruction in mind. His plan for your life is the ministry of Jesus. His message, His spirit, the mandate, the nations, the churches you are called to establish. Take note of that one. The churches you are called to establish, let this be your focus. And so our emphasis is to seize our ministry from distraction. To ensure that nothing takes away our ministry from us. Everybody and everyone God has called at some point to do His will in the earth have had to steady the course of that work by prayer. Everyone that He has called at such times. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we saw a man by the name of Eli. Eli was the one who blessed Anna, who had Samuel. And Anna's commitment was to make Samuel stay in the house of Eli and grow up there in the temple. But along the line, 1 Samuel chapter 3 tells us from verse 2 to 3 that there was no open vision. Things were drifting away. No open vision, no open revelation. And in fact, verse 3 says, ere the lamp in the temple was going out. The temple was there. Eli was still a priest, but the ministry was drifting away. Of course, it had to do with, number one, his attitude. Of course, his, the way he raised his children. He was that pastor who didn't want to offend the congregation. You know, he was that kind of fellow who was breeding boys that had no regard, no honor, no sense of reverence and respect. And so the things were drifting away. Interestingly, you now had Samuel too, who was right before the lamp. But what was he doing? The Bible says he also wanted to sleep. Something very significant there is that Eli's eyes were dimmed. Samuel was also closing his own. It's not unlikely that when you are led by someone who is drifting away, you might also drift away. There's something about a company that you keep. Something about those that are with you. I read what someone shared a couple of days ago, and quite a blessing. He said, as much as Caleb and Joshua were following God's plan, the fact that they were in the company of other people made sure that they spent 40 years too. So your company matters a lot. You have to check your company and discover that if you have people, this is not a grand rule, but if you have people who don't do what you do, after a while, it's either they start doing what you are doing or you start doing what they are doing. One will have to give. So Samuel had to close his eyes. And at just about the time, the Lord called out, you know, and called out, Samuel, Samuel. Of course, he ran to Eli, and there was Eli saying, I didn't call you. And Eli didn't even know who called him because his eyes were equally dim. He went again and again till Eli remembered. Not that God told him. He was now using what you can call experience. It's good, healthy, but my ministry will never be like that in Jesus' name. That I will just have to think, well, I think God has done this before. So I will now understand what is going on. No, I want fresh revelation. Fresh fire. Is that clear? So he got to that point. He said, okay, it must be Lord speaking to you. When else? They now use experience. When he speaks the next time, lie down and say, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. And that was it. And God now spoke to Samuel. He will have slept. So there are times like that, by influence, by those around us, we find out, interestingly, Samuel also now bred children that were just like Eli's children. So you have to really, really watch what has influenced you consciously and unconsciously. So here he was, staying and the Lord revealing his purpose and plan to him. I've just showed you, don't let your ministry drift away from you. Such that things have just changed suddenly without your knowing. They just drift away. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1:18 told Timothy, the words of prophecies have gone before on you. The reason is so that you can wage a good warfare. Of course, when Paul talks about warfare, you just need to read his other letters and know that there's no warfare without prayer. In Ephesians 6, and verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then he says to us that we should take on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand the devil in the evil day. He said, having done all to stand therefore, then he tells you what to take upon. Take the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, your feet shod about the gospel of peace. Then he speaks about taking the shield of faith wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Then he says the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, 17, praying always. Notice the emphasis. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. You can't have warfare without prayer. And if we are called to warfare as God's servants, then we are called to a consistent life of prayer. A consistent pattern and life or prayer. And so we often make some errors. When God speaks to you, anything God tells you to do is a prayer point, is a prayer project. Anything at all that God asks you to do, anything that God either is said it to you directly or use people over you, it's the same thing, to speak to you to do it. Anything at all he has called you to do is a call to prayer. There's nothing to excite you about the fact that God has a plan. He wants you to play a part of it. Of course, you should be full of joy. I know that. But it's a call to work. Some 26 years ago, I say 25. I was with people and we were talking just before this kind of conference, or say afterwards, after. And we're talking about, you know, what God had us to. People were just excited. I said, I'm not as excited as you, because this is a call to work. It's not a call to be excited. It's a call to work. It's a call that always demands consecration. Anything God wants you to do, any relationship he wants you to be part of, it's a call for prayer and consecration. Watch. Here's Jesus. God just acknowledged his ministry. The Father now I met in the baptism of John. And as soon as John said, this is my beloved son who I'm well pleased. And then he said, this, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world away. He didn't go on Facebook to write it. He wasn't trying to tell people about it. Immediately, Jesus went to the wilderness for 40 days and is there praying and fasting. He's there praying and fasting. A consistent method, a consistent pattern. We saw in Moses and Elijah on the day of the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, it was a significant day because Peter records it. And Peter says, we all were eyewitnesses of his majesty. 2 Peter 1:16 and 17. We heard a voice from the Holy Mount. Now look at the two people that were there. Elijah and Moses. Two men who spent quality time and days away from others. Two men. Two. These two men, fasting and prayer. These two men, they were found at that Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't see Abraham. Even Abraham is a great patriarch. He didn't see David. The two persons he saw on that Mount of Transfiguration was Moses and Elijah. And what did they go to do in Matthew 17:1? They went to pray. Which means that these two personalities, Moses and Elijah, stand in their stead, as men given to intense, so I'm going to talk about shortly, deliberate and elongated time of praying, and not just praying and fasting. So every time that God has something for you to do, the next thing is to get yourself in intense, deep, heartfelt prayer. Jesus is going to the cross, he's praying. When he gives the instruction to the apostles, the 12, maybe the 70, and he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes shall be condemned. He definitely had a cause for them. By the time they heard that, scripture says that they continued every day praying in one accord. Now, he didn't stop there. He had told them also that you shall receive power. After which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Acts 1:8, Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. When that came, they knew it was a prayer point. They knew they had to pray, and they continued. Now, the day of Pentecost came. It looks like, wow, something great had happened. Oh, there was an outpouring of the Spirit. About 3,000 received the gospel, Acts 2 and 41. Then they continued again praying. There is no reason why prayer should reduce. The only reason prayer has reduced is because the ministry has drifted away. Prayer must never reduce. Prayer is meant to increase. Prayer is meant to intensify. Because the work expands, prayer expands. Prayer is not meant to reduce. It's meant to intensify. May what will reduce your prayer life never be on your heart in Jesus' name. Prayer is never meant to reduce. It's meant to increase, of course, consistently too. When he gave them the great, and they look at the book of Acts, it's full of praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. They saw miracles, they kept praying. They saw the move of God, they kept praying. We are not praying to just see the move of God, we are praying to keep seeing the move of God. We are not running a sprint race. I'll come to that in a moment. A sprint race. I shared that with the leaders a couple of weeks ago. That there's a way you prepare for a sprint race. There's a way you see it. You are looking forward to an event. And some of us, our mind could just be like that. As long as I can just get people born again, that is sufficient. As long as my church is just 1,000, that's sufficient. Who gave that number to you? So you begin to run a race like it's a sprint race. And I said to us, there is a way you prepare for a sprint. Different from the way you prepare for a marathon. And I think that's a good advice here too. Don't start shouting too early. Amen. There's a way you prepare for sprints and marathon. And I use this example. You want to run a race and you're not aware it's a marathon. And so you just put all your effort. Then your mind is somewhere. Maybe it's 100 meters. Now you breast the tape at 100 meters. Then as you get to the 100 meters, you naturally will slow down. And do an Usain Bolt. Maybe do like, there's God, the others are still running. It is 400 meters. You know, it is very difficult to pick up that velocity again. So never see your ministry as a sprint race. It's a long distance race. And a long distance race, you prepare. I usually use this story of how myself and my friends, we tried to cheat the system when I was in my Form 1. It's a marathon race. So we decided to do our own marathon race with a relay. We were about 5 of us. And we now took a lot of glucose. We're not running the whole thing, but we took glucose and we all still failed. It's a marathon because you need to really prepare. The angel told Elijah, said, eat this very well. The journey is very long. Hallelujah. It's a very long journey. And I tell you, in the work of the ministry, our journey is long. We don't have short journeys. We don't have short trips. We have a long journey. We'll impact people. Who will impact people? I will still keep impacting people. Who will keep impacting people? Is that clear? It's a long journey. So if you are going to run a long journey, you must be intentional about it. It must show in how you carry yourself that you are intending to do this for a long time. You must be intentional. Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. When Saul of Tarsus was called, he started praying immediately. He's a new convert. So don't say I got born again last week. No. He was a new convert. The Bible says for 3 days, he was without food. Such that when Jesus appeared to Ananias, he said, go to the house of Simon the Tanner, you will see Saul of Tarsus, for he is praying. If God can say you are praying, then you are praying. God said, somebody is praying. And what does he call praying? 3 days. Not, oh Lord, I thank you today. Thank you, your word is working. You are not praying. You know, people have gotten to a point, they no longer pray. They now make declaration. Declaration. I declare and I decree. You are not praying, you know. I declare and I decree. And people have fed them with that because you're online now. They are just declaring and decree. I declare and decree. And that has robbed people of their prayer lives. They are praying for you online. You are decree, I decree. This week shall be good for you. Amen. You are not praying. You are only saying amen. Prayer is heartfelt. It's continued. So, watch this now. Saul of Tarsus, new convert. Of course, he was a Pharisee. So he had experience with scripture. He was praying 3 days without food. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas called to the work of the ministry. Where were they called? They were called in prayer. Acts 13, 1 and 2. When they were called, what did they do? They continued praying. So there is no reason prayer should ever reduce. Prayer should increase. Some people can come to your church today and say, Pastor, the way we are praying, can we reduce prayer? May you not have such an Ahithophel in your team. The person has gone to hear on cancer. Can we reduce the prayer? Say why? People are complaining. So people are, is God complaining? No. Did God say it's too much? No. So who says it's too much? Some of the members, they say that, you know, and all that and all that. Well, we are not here to listen to members. We are here to bless them and oversee them. So you must never watch your prayer life drift away. So the man, Elijah, James writes about him, said Elijah was a man of like passions like you and I, which means that he also had temptations like you and I. Elijah also had the kind of frailties like you and I. James says he prayed and he prayed again. He prayed and he prayed again, which means there is no time to stop praying. So we pray, we see the move of God. We pray to sustain the move of God. Why are we here? We are here, so don't forget, so that our ministry will not drift away. I sense that some of us, we are under pressure to follow trends. We are under pressure to replicate what others are doing without prayer. This is what this meeting will shake out of your life in Jesus' name. Your ministry must not drift away from you. Your ministry must be right in your hands because he committed it to your trust. You must be in charge. Circumstance must not take it away. Age must not take it away. You must keep increasing and abounding in the work of the Lord. Very key as I close. You must be intentional. Intentional means you will say to yourself, I will have a prayer life of this number of hours every day. Be intentional. I'm going to pray this way. I already told you how we are praying. We are intentional about it. It's not, you won't just pray by accident. No, you are intentional. I want to have this kind of prayer life. I want to be praying like this every year. I plan my prayer life. I want to pray like this every year. I want to be like this. I want to pray about my relationship. You must be intentional about it. I want to fast. Be intentional. Be intentional. It will take things from you. As you pray, I'm sure you will be tired at some point. If you are not tired, you are not human. You will be tired. You may even doze off at some point. It's part of it. It's part of it. Get back and continue praying. You may feel tired at some point. Continue doing it. You want to sit at some point. Sit down. Get up again and continue to pray. Because you are intentional. I will pray a whole day. I will pray a whole day. It's an intentional thing. Could you feel weak? Yes, you would. I had to even call some of our leaders. I was feeling a lot of pain the last few days. Because I decided to double my preparation this time around. I was intentional about it. By the time I checked my, because my phone was in my pocket, and I checked my phone, I had walked 113,000 steps. And I said to myself, I checked the previous day, I was 101. So, if at some point, because usually before we come for a meeting like this, I'll try to do what we are doing here before the meeting. So I had to double up. That double took a lot of things from me. My bones were at some point, I must confess, tears came out of my eyes. I said, what is all this? And I started thinking, but you have done one yesterday. You know, there's a way the devil talks to you in a very comforting way. You have done one yesterday. This one I said, no, that can't be God. God can't say you have done one yesterday. No, he doesn't even live in yesterday. This is the devil. And you could find almost, I was sleeping. My body was aching. And I usually don't sit down. So I looked at one, there was one spot. I looked at it, he was looking at me. I sat down. Eventually, as I sat down, I said, why am I sitting down? I got up again. I looked at it, I said, but it's not how to sit down. you know, and you just do that. Be intentional about it. You see, the strength of your ministry cannot be your pulpit. Do you hear me? It can't be your TV program. The strength of your ministry cannot be media. It can't be what you are writing. It has to be prayer. Ministry power is prayer power. Ministry power is prayer power. Be intentional. You'll be hungry. I know. That is why it takes devotion and consecration. Today we'll pray always. We'll pray consistently. We'll pray continually. We're intentional about how we want to pray. We're intentional about what we want to pray about. But very vitally, like I said, there's a why. That why is to not allow your ministry drift away. You know, if something drifts away, it's gradual. Gradually, you are losing your passion. Gradually, you are reducing your labor. Gradually, you are more interested with fame. Gradually, you are very particular about what people are saying to you. Gradually, you are comparing yourself with your mates who are vaccinating Christians. Gradually, you are comparing yourself with people that you know that are not serving God, but they look like models to you. Gradually, it's drifting away. But no more in Jesus' name. Lay hold of it. Take control of your ministry by prayer. So as you pray, why are you praying? So that your ministry doesn't drift away. That is your ministry. What you are praying about is your ministry. What you are praying for, who you are praying for, is your ministry. What you are praying about and who you are praying for is your ministry. As you pray, there will be tears, pain. Yeah. There'll be lack. There'll be tiredness. Yes. That is why it is what it is. Deep, heartfelt prayer. Don't come around looking for people. Some of us, people came for this conference and they were viewing others who were sleeping. Interestingly, those that they saw were sleeping are still here. They have stopped coming. Now hear for yourself. You didn't hear me? To build your own ministry. When you see men and women consistent with what God has called them over the years, something underground is a life of prayer. A life of prayer. A life of prayer is a life of consecration. A life of prayer simply means, Lord, this is not me, this is you. A life of prayer is a life of consecration. So as we step into this and begin to pray, we're going to pray different things for our local churches. Pray for our pastors because we are supposed to. Pray for other churches because we are supposed to. Pray for our nations because we are supposed to. Pray concerning things happening in society because we are supposed to. And we're not going to pray like we want to eat food. Bless this food, oh Lord, for Christ's sake. Heartfelt prayer like we are carrying the duty on our spirit. I will push and we'll get results. That's it. Don't allow your ministry drift away. Don't. Take a hold of it. Life circumstances should not take it from you. Your age should not take it from you. Your new status should not take it from you. Where you now live and stay should not take it from you. In this World Changers Conference, take a hold of your ministry. Seize it from circumstances. Take it away from situations. Take it away from trials. Take it away from your own desires. Take it away from lust and passion. Take it away from what's straining the society. Take it away from every form of distraction. And be deliberate and intentional to do so. We'll pray and pray and pray till all that matters to us is what should matter to us. We'll pray and pray till things are rearranged in our desires and plan. You know, before I go, look at Paul and Barnabas. I was thinking about it a couple of days ago and just this morning. You know, Paul and Barnabas, you know, Paul was the guy who was introducing Barnabas and all that, and they were working together in ministry. And Acts 13, Lord said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them. And at that point, it was in the place of prayer and fasting and waiting on the Lord in Acts 13.
But by Acts 15,
when they both had issues with who to take, whether to take John Mark or not, they didn't pray about it. They didn't pray about it. Relationships that are supernatural are birthed in prayer. Don't allow circumstance to take them away. They didn't pray about it. What if they had just said, let's just pray, Paul. Barnabas, let's find some time and pray. What does the Lord want us to do concerning John Mark? But usually, we throw that as a last option. So guys, even your relationships, sustain them by prayer. There are things in your head now about people God has brought to your life, about, you know, different individuals in your life today, and you're just thinking, what about praying? What about praying? So ensure that what God has begun is sustained by prayer. This meeting, don't forget, is to ensure that we cease our ministry from drifting away. You can be right there like Eli, preaching every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, but your eyes are dim. Your eyes are dim. You're sleeping off on this. You are there in the temple. You are there in church. You are there as a cell leader. You are there as a pastor. But what is going on? Fire is going out gradually. Now we are here to hear him call our name, Samuel, Samuel. And just like Samuel, you will say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears me. Speak, Lord, you do the talking. As I pray, you do the talking. And get me back on course. Get me back on the right course. It will take pain, to take patience, to take tears, to take a whole lot of sacrifice. But you make up your mind that my ministry will not drift away from me. Nothing will reduce my prayer life. Nothing will reduce my prayer time. I'll pray and I'll keep praying. This is that place. That place. That place. Where we want to see what men of old saw. This is that place. Where we want to receive what has been received before. This is that place. It's that place. This is that place when I will also have a memorable, remarkable, unique encounter in the place of prayer. I'm deliberate about it. That I'll take the whole day and pray. I'm deliberate about it. And I will come in contact with visible supernatural things. I'm deliberate about it. I'm deliberate about it that my coming years, starting from now to 2024 and ahead, will be full of harvest. I'm deliberate about it. That I will plant things on behalf of God. I'm deliberate about it. That I will make a visible impact known in the life of men. I'm deliberate about it. I'm deliberate about praying this way. It's not an easy task to keep praying like that and keep having such results, but I'm deliberate about it. I'm intentional. So therefore, I set it for myself. I will do this and I will do it. I will do that and I'll do it. I'm deliberate about it because it's God's call upon my life. I'll pray for nations. I'll pray for churches. I'll pray for my leaders. I'll pray for fellow ministers. I'll pray for people in society. I am deliberate about it. And I'm not going to do it half-heartedly. Full-hearted. Intentional about it. We're not here to have fun and just pass through it. No. We're here to be intentional and spend time putting off our phones, putting off every distraction, and spend time here, days upon days, of the effects we're going to see in years to come. We are not farmers who wait for a harvest of seed they never sow. We are going to sow the seed. And you'll be doing this here. Years down the line, you will look back and you tell yourself, this is what the seeds have brought. And I've told you, a harvest gives you seed for more sowing. As soon as you get a harvest, what is in the harvest again? More seeds to sow. So our greater days are not in our past. They are ahead of us. We throw ourselves to this. We're intentional. Don't forget, Do not let your ministry drift away from you. Cease it. And the focus is now. No wait. I used to say this to our ward people. There's this thing you talk about. I know I won't do, but just I know by next year. Next year is not in your hands. The time you have is now. That's when you have. You have no control over times and seasons. The Father put it in His own power. And what He has told you now is to take a hold of your ministry. And I'm not saying this to a few people. I'm saying it to everybody, myself inclusive. Don't let it drift away. Don't allow some changes to just suddenly happen to your ministry and your attitude. Take a hold of it here and all will be well. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Let's just pray in tongues for 1 or 2 minutes. I'm intentional. Intentional. Deliberate. Deliberate. Recall what I said. Do not let your ministry drift away from you. Drift away from you. From now till Sunday. From Sunday till Monday. Monday till Tuesday till Wednesday till Thursday. Up to very early Friday morning. I will hold my ministry. I will take a hold of it. My prayer. Intense, heartfelt prayer. I will hold it firmly. Firmly. Hallelujah.